in this week's parsha, at the end of this week's parsha, after the rebellion of Korach, and after the aftermath and punishment of the rebellion of Korach, we learn about another disastrous or possibly disastrous rebellion, and that is against Aharon's authority. And that's in Bamidbar Yud Zayin. It really starts back in Pasuk Vav, but I printed only from Pasuk Tet Zayin. But really back in Pasuk Vav in Perek Yud Zayin, we have a magifa that Aharon succeeds in averting, or stopping, I should say. And after that, we have Pasuk Tet Zayin as a response to Bnei Yisrael's nervousness that Aharon and his family are not faithful defenders or representatives of the kahuna. And Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe l'amor, Daber el Bnei Yisrael v'kach me'itam, Matem matel levet av me'et kol nisiyehem, levet avotam shnei masar matot, ish et shemo tichtov al matehu. Ve'et shem Aharon tichtov al mateh levi, ki mateh echad l'rosh beit avotam. V'inachtam b'yohol moed lifnei ha'idut asher iva'ed lachem shama, v'haya ha'ish asher evchar bo matehu yifrach, v'asikoti me'alai et tlunot b'nei Yisrael, Asher heim malinim aleichem in Pasuk Chaf. We learn exactly why we're doing this, because of the complaints that Bnei Yisrael seem to be complaining against Aharon and Hashem. Chaf aleph vaydaber Moshe el Bnei Yisrael vaytnu elav kol nesiyehem matel nasi echad, matel lenasi echad lebeit avotam shnei masar matot umatei Aharon betoch matotam. Chaf bet vayanach Moshe et hamatot lifnei Hashem biohal ha'idut. Vayehi mimacharat vayavo Moshe lo haidut v'hinei parach matei Aharon lebeit Levi vayotzei perach vayatzei tzitz vayigmol shkedim. It's very clear by this miraculous response to this test, it's very clear that Aharon, the Mate Aharon is chosen, and Shevet Aharon is chosen, and Aharon is chosen by having this Mateh, flower and bud, and bring almonds. And so, of course, again we say that after Korach's rebellion and after the almost 15,000 people die because of the magifa that Aharon prevents or stops, the people rebel, and it's this test, the test of the Mateh, that puts the matter to rest. And the way it's put to rest is that when the next day, when Moshe arrives in the Yoel Moed, and we're going to follow Rashi's approach, we're not going to go so much now into what exactly happened in the Mateh, but if you look at Pasuk Chav Gimel, we have Vayotze Perach, Aharon's staff had flowers, and vayatzei tzitz, there were buds, vayigmol shkedim. Now we know from our understanding of Tanakh, we know why the shaked, why the shkedia was used as a message to Bnei Yisrael. We know that the shkedia almonds are among the first trees to flower, among the first trees to bud. We also know that they are among the last trees to ripen. In other words, almonds are on the tree for a very long time, very early. Slow and steady wins the race. They're not ripened till later. And that's why shkida in modern Hebrew means assiduousness, diligence, stick-to-itiveness, early on, work hard working, and that comes, and that we know, for example, why the shaked is used to mean things that will happen early and quickly, and things that occur with hard work. And so we have in Yirmiyahu Perek Aleph, very beginning of Yirmiyahu, we have Vayihi Dvar Hashem Elai Lemor Ma Ata Roeh, the first nevuah that Yirmiyahu is shown. Vayihi Dvar Hashem Elai Lemor Ma Ata Roeh Yirmiyahu Vaomar Makel Shakeid Ani Roeh. And Hashem says, Vayomer Hashem Elai Heitav Talirot Ki Shokeid Ani Al Dvari La'asoto. Shkida again means hard work and diligence and industriousness, and again, slow and steady wins the race. However, the Pasuk and the Gemara, which I'm going to quote, seem to say something very interesting and point to something very interesting. It is clear that the fruit, the almonds, and the flowers were on the staff at the same time. Look at the Gemara. The Gemara in Yuma quotes a Braita. Mishenignaz Aron. We know that after the first Beit HaMikdash, we lost a number of items in the first Beit HaMikdash that were not existent. In the second Beit HaMikdash, some of them were taken, but some of them were hidden. Nignaz. And the Gemara quotes a Braita. Yuma. That says, Misha Nignaz Aron, Nignaza Imo Tzinsenet Haman, a little holder, the little jar of man that was kept all the way from when Bnei Yisrael were in the Midbar, that was lost, that was hidden, I should say, and Tzluchit Shemen Hamishcha, the anointing oil that we didn't have in the second Beit HaMikdash, and Umaklo Shel Aharon. Ushkeidia upracheha. Let's come back in a second. V'argaz sheshigru plishtim doron lelokei Yisrael. As you know, in Shmuel's early days, when the Aron was taken by the plishtim, they did not have very much luck, and it was they eventually sent back the Aron in a argaz, in a crate. It was first found by the people of Beit Shemesh, and they didn't treat it properly either. But anyway, so that argaz was hidden as well. But I skipped one, and I said, "Umaklosha laharon ushkeidiyau pracheha." The staff of Aharon with its almonds and its flowers, it was all hidden away. No problem. However, the Rush, that's the next source. The Rush, Rabbeinu Asher ben Yechiel, a Rishon, father of the Tur, dies in the early 14th century, asks the following question. Tema, Lama hizkir prachim? Halo gamlu lihiyot shkedim? When, again, I know why we chose, why Hashem chose the shkedia, but whenever you have a flowering tree, the flowers come, and the flowers fall when the fruit come. And yet, on Aaron's staff, we have both the fruit and the flowers. The Rush gives his own answer. Hear the question? Why would the mateh, the makel, have both the flowers and the almonds when we know that when you have one, you don't have the other? And the Rush gives his own answer. V'yefshar demikzatan na'asu shkedim u'mikzatan nisharu prachim. The Rush gives an answer which is, it seems like there, it was almost like the makel was taken in process. Some of the flowers were still there. Shkedim had not yet ripened. And the shkedim were there and the flowers had gone away. The Malbim actually asks the same question and gives a different answer. He says that you had to have both to highlight the nes of Moshe Rabbeinu. The nes of Moshe that was reflecting Aharon. Because had there been only one without the other, then the fear would have been that people would have accused Moshe of planting, excuse the pun, of planting the shkedim or planting the flowers on the makel, and they said, "Oh, you cook the books, you stack the deck." Whereas if you had both, the miracle was more blatant. Those are both beautiful answers and a lot more to talk about. I would like to, again, we're a little bit pressed today, but I'd like to quote you Rav Moshe Feinstein. Rav Moshe Feinstein specifically for this time of year. Rav Moshe Feinstein is famous for his halacha, of course, and it being a Gadol Hador and a Posek Hador, Igot Moshe. But he also wrote a sefer called Darash Moshe. And on this week's parashat, I have it in front of you, says Rav Moshe Feinstein, V'tzarich lahavin, you see where it's highlighted there? Middle of the line. V'tzarich lahavin, le'eze tam na'aseh neis zeh. This was clearly a miracle, but why? What is the message of this miracle of almonds with flowers at the same moment? Ach hata'am hu, she'er'enu bazeh, she'pirchei kedusha einam novlim ve'einam kalim le'olam. Flowers of Kedusha never wither and never leave. What is a flower? A flower is the preparation for the fruit. And you prepare for the fruit, and then the preparation withers, and you're left with the fruit. When it comes to preparation for Kedusha, preparations of Kedusha never wither and never end. V'hine pri ha-mitzvah hu asiat ha-mitzvah gufa. The fruit of a mitzvah is the actual doing of the mitzvah. V'aprachim heim dvarim ha-mevi'im lazeh. And the prachim represent those things that lead us to the mitzvah, prepare us for the mitzvah. V'yadinan, and we know, mizeh, shegam haprachim nisharu kayamim leolam. These flowers, the flowers of Kedusha, the flowers of Avoda, of Aharon, never get lost. Dekol hatircha v'yatzar shebalo lekayim hamitzvah v'lilmod hatorah kayam la'ad. All of the challenges and all of the hard work and all of the investment are not lost when it comes to mitzvot. Delo ki bedvarim gashmiim shemishalmim sachar rak ba'ad hapri. When we talk about olam hazeh, when you have a job, your job will pay you for your product. Your product could be having a court case, not necessarily winning, but being in a court case, presenting a report, teaching a class, healing somebody. Those are all things that I need to do. We don't get paid for the preparation. We don't get paid for the driving to the hospital. We don't get paid for the driving away from the hospital. We don't get paid for driving to court. We get paid for being in court or for being in the hospital. However, when it comes to Torah, we get paid, so to speak, for the preparation, for the hard work, for the all the groundwork that we lay heading towards the mitzvah. And that's a pshat, actually, at the bottom of the page. This is the season of siyumim. And in a siyum, one of the things that we say when we say hadran alach, we say, anu amelim v'heim amelim. We work hard and they work hard. Anu amelim u'mekablim schar, v'heim amelim v'einam mekablim schar. We work hard and we get reward. They work hard, they don't get rewarded. And the question is obvious: they do get rewarded. You've never seen someone who's not Jewish who gets paid for working in a hospital, who gets paid for working in a court case? Of course you do. But here's the difference: anu amelim v'heim amelim. Anu amelim u'mikablim sachar for our amelut. V'heim amelim v'einam mikablim sachar on their amelut, for their amelut. When it comes to Torah, we get paid, so to speak, for our preparation. I'm going to be speaking in the next, I think about a week and a half, about my Rebbe. It's my Rebbe's 20th Yortzeit, Rav David Lifshitz, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. And I remember him sharing with us that pshat, that last pshat I just said. And I remember him telling us that, you know, the halacha is that when you, at Chalashut, you're supposed to eat. However, if you don't have food, you can also learn Torah. Well, not now, the reason why is that so. But, question. What happens if I don't have food or don't have the opportunity to eat for Chalas Shudas and I learn for an hour on a certain Gemara and a Rashi and a Tosfot and I get all the Sachar for Chalas Shudas and learning Torah, and then Sunday morning comes around, I come to my Chavrut and I say, you'll never hear the Pshat that I learned, here's the Gemara, here's the Rashi, here's the Tosfot, and he says, what are you talking about? That's meaningless, you misread that and you didn't know what you're talking about in the Rashi. That's the way you talk with Chavrut, Milchamta Shel Torah. That's Sofalit Kayem, and Machok L'Shem Shamayim. What are you talking about? That's not the Rashi. And I say, oh my gosh, I didn't know what I that's right. I misread the Gemara, I misread the Rashi, and Tosfot Bichlal. So what happens? So I wasn't Yotzei Shalashuris? I wasn't Yotzei Shalashuris retroactively? The answer is, of course you were. Because it's the Amelut that counts. It's the Amelut that counts. Anu Amelim, Vehem Amelim. We get Schar for the Amelut. And that's the flowers and the fruits come simultaneously. When it comes to the end result, so to speak, that's very nice. But we also get rewarded, so to speak, for the flowers. And so our bracha to you is to recognize the makel of Aharon with its shkedim and with its prachim. Reminds us that what we are engaged in every day of our life, hopefully in Yerushalayim, but not always, is a life of preparation, of working towards something greater. That I can be greater, that we can be greater, that Klal Yisrael can be greater. And that while the flowers, so to speak, of Gashmiut may wither and die, the flowers and preparation of mitzvot, chalila, this is a day of laughter and smiles, not of tears, because we are moving forward with smiles, using that preparation, becoming greater and greater together in Klal Yisrael.